right, good singing tonight. How many of you are in a good mood tonight? You feel like you're in a good mood? How many are in a grumpy mood? How many don't know what kind of mood you're in? You're just kind of still trying to figure it out. All right, well, I like to ask questions sometimes. You know, you're the eyes are the window of the heart, and sometimes I wonder, you know, where are the hearts, right? Where is everybody? Isaiah chapter 40 tonight in our Bibles. We started out to just look at five truths from this particular chapter. I thought it was going to be boom, 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 but it's been boom, boom, break, break, boom, break, Valentine's, whatever, boom, boom. All right, so we have two messages left, message 4 and 5 in this little mini-series on the sovereignty of God. And God is so big. He's so big. And this chapter really helps us when we think concerning what's going on in the world in which we live in. You remember, the book is divided into two sections, and I think by now you probably have it down. The first section, chapters 1 to 39, really deal with God's judgment pronounced upon his people for their sin. And then from 40 to 66, we have comforting thoughts, God's comfort for his people. Obviously, they would be in captivity in Babylon. Obviously, in facing the captivity, they would begin to possibly doubt the bigness of their God. And so Isaiah has a call to remind them of God's sovereignty in this wonderful section of Scripture in Isaiah chapter number 40. Now, there were five truths we were going to look at. We've looked at three already. So the first is found, our series started in verse number 12. And who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And we said, number one, God's power is unlimited. And we said, God created the heavens and the earth. He sustains the heaven and the earth. He controls the heaven and the earth. Aren't you glad that we have a God that never loses control? Secondly, we said God's wisdom is unsearchable. And the Bible says in verse 13, or being his counselor hath taught him, the latter part of that verse, verse 14, with whom took he counsel and who instructed him? And we said, God does not need to learn anything. Now, that's kind of hard for me to understand. God doesn't need to learn anything. We need to learn a lot, don't we? He doesn't need to learn anything. God doesn't need counsel. He never has to say, hey, can you give me some advice? Can I get your opinion on something? He does not need counsel. We need counsel. We need advice. And then we said God does not need questioned. We don't need to question God because God does what is right. And number three, we said this. God's authority is unchallenged. And we looked at verse 12. We looked at verse 15. As we looked at the nations as a drop of a bucket or counted as a small dust of the balance, we compared him to the nations, the mighty nations that we think are mighty to him. They're nothing. Verse 17, all nations before him, the him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. How do you get less than nothing? If nothing, less than nothing, God says. And though they may think they're big and powerful, the nations of this world are nothing compared to Almighty God. Now tonight, I want to just give you some basic thoughts, really, as we look at our fourth truth. I want to look at two verses here, and then I want to take us on a little bit of a journey, all right? And so look at verse number 18, and we'll look at verse number 25. And I want us to see number 4, God's ability is unmatched. And I want to look at his ability to overcome obstacles. Isaiah 40 and verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Look at verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? God's ability is unmatched. Let's have a word of prayer, and I want to just take you on a journey through some scriptures that I think will encourage us concerning the ability of our God to overcome. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the music. Thank you for our young people, Lord, that minister to us on a regular basis through music. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing here in our midst. Lord, I thank you for Sarah and her coordinating the music and Pastor Drew. And Lord, our hearts have been just refreshed as we sing praises to your name. Now we ask, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, you take truth and you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, remind us of your ability to overcome. Lord, nothing is too hard for you. None or nothing, no one compares to you. And Lord, we thank you that you're our loving Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, we read the verse, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I want to look tonight at God's ability to overcome, and we're going to go through this quickly. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 14. And all I'm going to do tonight is remind you of Bible stories where God overcame. I want you to see, first of all, he overcame the waters of Egypt. He overcame the waters of Egypt. In Exodus chapter number 14, you're familiar with the scripture. The Bible says in verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, and their on their right hand and on their left. And of course, we know the scriptures say the Egyptians pursued after them. Verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You're familiar with this story. We're all familiar with this story. God delivered his people from Egypt, a place of bondage and slavery, and he's taking them to the promised land. As they leave Egypt, obviously, Pharaoh changes his mind and decides he's going to pursue after God's people. And God's people find themselves with mountains on either side and this big old Red Sea, and the Egyptians are coming after them. Obviously, God's people were a little bit nervous, wouldn't you say? And it looks humanly, when you read the story, it's hard for us sometimes as we look at these stories, I know that story. Yeah, I heard that story ever since I was this big. For some of you, I've taught that story. I've taught that story hundreds and hundreds of times. And that's good, but we need to remember the simplicity of the power of God taught in this story. God's ability to overcome. He overcame the waters of Egypt. It was nothing. Here the children of Israel are looking at this Red Sea thinking this is an impossibility. And God just sends a little east wind, a little breeze, and he parts this Red Sea, and he parts it for miles because there's some 2 million people that have to get across, and they get across on dry land. And then what? Oh, the land gets a little mucky when the Egyptians get in, and the Egyptians are destroyed in the Red Sea. As we look at the Word of God, God shows us throughout the pages of Scripture his ability to overcome. His ability is unmatched. Secondly, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter number 6. God is, his ability is seen in his overcoming the waters of Egypt. I want you to see, secondly, he overcame the walls of Jericho. Joshua chapter number 6. Now here is a nation that thought they were pretty secure. Here's a nation that thought they were secure, and they built. Took time. Somebody strategized and said, you know what? Let's build us some big, huge, thick walls. Let's protect our city. Let's put these walls around our city, and we will be safe, and no one will be able to penetrate. And the Bible says in Joshua 6 and verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They were nervous because they heard wind that the children of Israel were coming. And again, you know this story, and I want us just to be reminded, really tonight, I'm going to remind you of about 6 or 7 Bible stories that illustrate God's ability to overcome. He overcame the walls of Jericho. We know the story. And the Bible says, the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, I've given unto thine hand Jericho. And God tells Joshua what to do. You're going to walk around these walls. That doesn't make human sense, does it? Walk around these walls. And Joshua does it. And the people do it. And they don't complain. And they walk around these walls. And what is God trying to teach them? It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. What God is trying to teach them is all they need to do is obey him. God can take care of the walls. I mean, you think about the Israelites as they looked at these walls and thought, man, these things are big. How are we going to get through? How are we going to penetrate? They didn't need to worry about that. They just needed to worry about obeying the Lord, because God is able. God's ability is unmatched. And the Bible says, of course, we know this, verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and they shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now think about this. I used to think, when I thought about this story, that the walls fell down. Well, now, here's a whole bunch of walls, and they got to, like, climb over all the rubble and all of the concrete or whatever they used to make these walls. The Bible says they fell down flat. So I'm wondering if the earth opened up and went kaboof, and there it is. They were able to just march right on into the city of Jericho, and they were able to take the city no problem. You see, here we've got people that think, oh, the Israelites are coming, these that serve this Jehovah God. But that's all right, because we're going to be okay. Maybe the Egyptians, maybe Pharaoh thought, oh, the Red Sea, they're not going to be able to get past the Red Sea. I'm going to go after them. Here the people of Jericho thought, hey, we're okay. We don't have anything to worry about. We got these big walls. And they try to say, hey, we're going to be secure in these big walls. No, not when you're fighting against the Lord. His ability is unmatched. He overcame the waters of Egypt. He overcame the walls of Jericho. Now turn to Judges chapter number 7. Again, we're just going through some Bible stories. I want you to see number 3. He overcame the warriors of Midian. He overcame the warriors of Midian, the Midianites. In Joshua chapter number 7, we have the story of Gideon. We have the story of God's people, verse 6 of Judges 6. They were impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And boy, when we cry unto the Lord, God hears us. And God heard, and he gave them a leader, raised up a leader, Gideon. And you know the story with Gideon. God had to work through things with Gideon, and he had to help Gideon to see that he was with him. And then what? The Midianites, there was a whole bunch of them. I mean, as a matter of fact, let's see if I can find the verse here. Verse number 12. There was a multitude of them. That's in chapter 7 and verse number 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. There's a whole lot of people. They're totally outnumbered. And what does God do? God says to Gideon again, he wants him to understand that it's his ability, it's his power, it's not their strategy, it's not their might. And he says, hey, there's 32,000 too many. Take him down a little bit, take him down a little bit, and he takes him down to 300. 300 against multitudes that a camel that you can't count. I mean, this is the odds are big time out of their favor. Well, what does God want to show him? God wants to show him that he is able to overcome the warriors of Midian. And we see throughout the Word of God many nations that position themselves against Jehovah God. His ability is unmatched. Now I want you to see number 4. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 36. I turned right to it. Wow, this must be the Lord's will. I just went, boom, and there I am. Isaiah chapter 36. I'll give you a minute to find it. He overcame the waters of Egypt, the walls of Jericho, the warriors of Midian. He overcame the words of the wicked. As we look at Isaiah chapter number 36, God's people are being bullied. You ever been bullied? They're being bullied here in this passage. And Isaiah 36 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. So here we've got the king of Assyria against God's people, the cities of Judah. Verse 2, and the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. So here's the captain of the army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And what does he do? he starts to try to get in their head. Verse 4, and we'll call him Rab. And Rab said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusteth? And he begins to try to intimidate God's people. Look at verse 13. Then Rab stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king, shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't let Hezekiah tell you that. Beware, verse 18, lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. And this goes on for another chapter or so. Hezekiah, as was mentioned Wednesday night in chapter 37 and verse number 15, wisely brings this problem to the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, and he lays this thing out before the Lord. And what does God do? I mean, we've got some big-time bullying. We've got some intimidation going on. Your God's not going to... By the way, we live in a world that's as anti-God. People want to do what they can to try to bully you and I, to try to tell us God's not on the throne or whatever. Hey, we've got to be the salt and the light. We've got to continue to preach Christ to them. They need Christ. We've got to be strong and be bold. We haven't had to be all that bold here in America, have we? For some time, we've been allowed to just kind of be lackadaisical and it doesn't matter. Well, God's bringing us maybe to a place where we have to be a little more bold, where we have to get on our knees a little more, and maybe that's a good thing. Do you know in the book of Acts, when they faced persecution, the Bible says they were scattered abroad, and guess what happened? The church grew. The church multiplied. Maybe that's what we need here in America. I don't know. But I tell you this, we cannot be bullied into not believing God. And he's saying, don't tell Hezekiah, folks, it's going to tell you that God's going to deliver. God's not going to deliver you. Well, God does deliver. He overcame the words of the wicked. Look at chapter 37 and verse number 36. And again, I'm sparing you all the details. I'm assuming you're familiar with the story. And we're just reminding ourselves of our ability of our great God. Verse 36 of Isaiah 37. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. What did God do? Obviously, as he was worshiping his God, his son smote him, and the man that thought that he was the man wasn't the man at all, was he? What'd God do? God delivered. What are we looking at here tonight? We're looking at the ability of God. God's ability is unmatched. Who is like unto the Lord? Nobody's like unto the Lord. And as we look at the Word of God, we see that he overcame the words of the wicked. Old Rab and Sennacherib are overcome. Now let's look at the New Testament, all right? Can we look at the New Testament? Let me give you number 5. And you're wondering now, we're looking at the words and we're looking at the waters and the walls and the warriors. And those of you that are thinking, you're thinking about the next W, and I'm going to give it to you. He overcame weakness of the body. Look at Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. We find a man whose child is sick. And this man's a man of power, influence. And we're in chapter 7, and we're looking at verse number 2. Luke 7 and verse number 2. The Bible says this, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. It's amazing to me how some crowds in the Bible, Jesus, you know, cast the demons out and they say, get out of here. We don't want you. Others, they hear about Jesus. They say, hey, I'm running to Jesus. Jesus can meet the need. And so they go to Jesus. And the Bible says, verse 4, they came to Jesus. They besought him instantly, saying he was worthy, that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loved our nation. They're trying to tell him that he's worthy. And Jesus goes with them. And when he's not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends, saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore, I thought to myself, I'm not worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, I haven't found faith, verse 9, not so great faith in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Ah, what do we see? God's ability to heal. You see, Jesus didn't have to do anything but just speak the word. His ability is unmatched. He overcame weakness of the body. He is able. I want you to look at John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Two more. Two more and we'll be finished. You see, Pastor, what are we? We're just looking at God's ability. We could spend all night. We could take you through lots and lots and lots of Bible stories to help us to see that he's able. He's able. Remember the old song, he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. His ability is unmatched. In John chapter number 11, Lazarus had died. You're familiar with this story as well. In John chapter 11, Lazarus dies. Jesus delays his coming. Because why? Because he wants them to see, verse number 25, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, 25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And they go to the side there where the tomb, where Lazarus is. Jesus says, hey, take me to the tomb there. And of course, Martha and Mary, you know, they loved Lazarus, and they're upset. And Jesus says, can you move the stone? Verse 39, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Lord, this doesn't make any sense. He's been here 4 days. And Jesus does what? He says, listen, if you'd believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And what does Jesus do? He shows his ability. His ability to conquer death itself. Lazarus, come forth. He overcomes the woe of death. If you're taking notes, there you go. Martha and Mary were sorrowful. I mean, they were weeping. They were saying, Lord, you should have been here. Where were you? You should have been here. His timing is perfect. His timing's always perfect. And he allowed them to go through that sorrow that he might communicate to them that he is the resurrection and the life. And what did they do? They experienced one of the greatest miracles ever when Jesus says, Lazarus, come on out. What a miracle. Imagine what it must have been like to have been there. You know what's amazing to me is sometimes we look at the Word of God and we think, if I had been there, then I would believe the Lord more. Well, there were some that were there that didn't believe the Lord. There were some that think about Judas that saw Jesus do so many things, and yet he betrayed him, yet he turned on him. But God has given us so much to encourage us concerning his ability, concerning who he is. Can I give you one more? All right, one more W. Here we go. Matthew chapter number 4. You see, Pastor, where did these W's come from? I don't know. They just came out of somewhere. I don't know where. I just started looking at these stories and thinking, How do you explain to somebody the ability of God? How do we communicate that who is like unto the Lord? Nobody is. How do we communicate that? Well, we just go through and see the obstacles that he faced, and we see obstacle number one, obstacle number two, obstacle number three. I mean, we could talk all night concerning the overcoming ability of God. He overcame the wiles of the devil. There you go. This is our last one, Matthew chapter 4. when Jesus was led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. The tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then what? The devil taketh him up to a holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of a temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Matthew 4 and verse 7, Jesus saith unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. After 40 days and 40 nights of fasting at a time of physical weakness, the devil comes and throws everything he has at our Savior. But Jesus won. His ability is unmatched. He overcame the wiles of the devil. You know, there are some people in our world today that think they're big stuff. There's some people in our world today that think they got away with sin and deception. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." I'm glad I'm on the winning team, aren't you? I'm glad that we have a God that can't be compared to any other God. We have a God that can't be compared to anything else. He's almighty and all-powerful. Now, when we think about God's ability being unmatched, what does that do for you? What does that do in our own lives? How does that help us? So we look at all these stories and think, "Wow, that's great. That's great." God gave us these stories in the Word of God to help us. God showed himself strong in these passages of Scripture to help us to recognize that he is able. What you're facing today or this week or this month or maybe what we'll face this year, oh, it'll be bigger than we are, but it won't be bigger than our God's ability to overcome. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. What a great reminder God's people needed in Isaiah 40. When they were going through a difficult time there in Babylon. A reminder that no God is like their God, the God they serve. Wow. Let it sink in. How great our God is. Lord, we love you today. Lord, we thank you that